Jeremiah chapter 37, verses 4 to 11. Beware of Egypt. I could title it, Confidence in Egypt. False confidence in Egypt. But I'll stick with Beware of Egypt. Now at this time, Zedekiah is the king of Jerusalem, king of Judah. But he is a puppet king. He has been installed by Babylon. But at this time, Egypt is all-powerful. It's not Babylon, which is the great power just at the moment. Egypt is all-powerful. 2 Kings 24 is a passage historically which will set this in context. Egypt had marched out and had helped Jerusalem. And so much so, seeing Egypt was such a great power, Babylon, which had made territorial gains in Judea, left. They withdrew, they retreated back towards Babylon. All this is in verses 4 to 6. Jeremiah at this time was free to come and go among the people, for he had not yet been put in prison. Pharaoh's army had marched out of Egypt. And when the Babylonians, who were besieging Jerusalem, heard the report about them, they withdrew from Jerusalem. Now, so what's going on? Well, here's Babylon withdrawing. Here's Egypt coming out. And you can imagine the euphoria in Jerusalem. You can imagine King Zedekiah. But Jeremiah is raised up again and used of God to preach to this situation. I can imagine the situation. People smiling all over their face, congratulating themselves. The siege is over. Babylon is finished. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Tell the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of me, and what are you going to tell him? What have you got to tell him? Here's everybody cheerful. You can imagine the prophets, the false prophets, boosting everybody's morale, pointing out Jeremiah and mocking him for all his miserable, wretched, judgmental preachings. So what does Jeremiah have to say? What is the word of God, the word of the living God, the word of the Lord, the God of Israel, to Judah? Tell the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of me, Pharaoh's army, which has marched out to support you, will go back to its own land, to Egypt. As God says somewhere else, Egypt is a broken cane. You will lean on it, and it will splinter you. It will break and pierce your hand. Then the Babylonians will return and attack the city. They will capture it and burn it down. This is what the Lord says. Don't deceive yourself. You see, this is what was going on. Deception, self-congratulation, patting themselves on the back, cheering themselves up, the false prophets boosting their morale, and poor Jeremiah left like a speckled bird on the rooftop. Don't deceive yourselves thinking, the Babylonians will surely leave us. It'll be permanent. No, they will not. Even if you were to defeat the entire Babylonian army that is attacking you, and only wounded men were left in their tents, they would come out and burn this city down. Yes, the Babylonian army had retreated, verse 11, because of Pharaoh's army. But in the long term, and it wouldn't be so long either, in the long term, Babylon was coming back. And all that self-congratulation, all that false prophecy, boosting their morale, all that cheerfulness, all that deception would prove to be that very thing, a deception. I can see a very strong application to today. By the way, this is not the only occasion. You'll find it in Isaiah. You'll find Isaiah 30 is expressive about this, very much detail about this. Indeed, going back to Egypt was the issue. right from the very beginning. You remember when they were at Sinai and Moses was getting the law. What did the Hebrews want to do? They wanted gods who would take them back to Egypt. Remember, even before that, when God brought them out, he said, he was concerned because he knew that they would want, the Hebrews would want to return to Egypt. And over again, he said, don't go down to Egypt. Don't go to the pagans. Don't go. But of course, not only did Israel go to Egypt, they went to pagans of all kinds. Now, what's the application today? Well, the re-engineers of the ecclesia, the church manipulators, they're coming out with their books and their conferences and their courses and their schemes and their plans. And the churches, many evangelical churches, are buying into it wholesale. And what is happening? They're going to the pagans and they're consulting them for their principles and practices and using the weapons of the pagans to attract other pagans into the assemblies, or use inverted commas there, to try and evangelize them. They're employing, though, these carnal weapons, pagan weapons, and it's the arm of flesh, and it will fail. It's Egypt. I know it looks at the moment just like it was in Jerusalem, as though it's working. But the long term, and it won't be so long, the long term will be disastrous. It's all happening again, I see. The principles are being repeated in the church today, the churches. And I can hear the congratulations. I can see the happiness on their faces. I can hear the teachers boosting them. The schemes are working. But underneath it, Egypt, Egypt, Egypt. Beware of Egypt. Put no confidence in princes. Put no confidence in these re-engineers. Put no confidence in the arm of flesh. Zedekiah and the Jews in Jerusalem were deceiving themselves. And the lone prophet, his lone boys, I think he was lone, but not many with him, was being derided and dismissed and ridiculed, no doubt. But the truth was with the minority. Oh, may God bless this discourse. May he use it to his praise and awaken us before it is too late. The arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. Not by might, not by power. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are not Egypt. They are mighty through God. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit in the gospel. That's the way it is, says the Lord of hosts. May we listen to God and act upon his word and not go down to Egypt. And may we come away from Egypt as soon as is possible now. Immediately, at once, may we leave Egypt for Christ's sake. Amen.